Welcome to the Wiser Than Before podcast, where each episode we'll get a little wiser. I'm your host, Josh Dodds. On this episode of Wiser Than Before, we're talking about HRV, or heart rate variability. I'm going to tell you what it is, and then I'm going to give you four ways you can make the most of it if you have that data. HRV is a health metric that's growing in popularity, right alongside the growing popularity of wearable devices and smartwatches. So if you have one of these devices, it's probably already measuring your HRV, and maybe you've already seen your HRV number. And whether or not you have any idea what that number even means, if you're like most of us, you want to get a good score, and you might have even thought about how you can increase your HRV number. And we'll get to that later, but to start, let's cover what HRV even is, which is a measurement of how much the time between your heartbeats changes. Heartbeats aren't uniform and consistent. They don't beat at exactly the same cadence like a metronome or the second hand on a clock. So if your heart rate is 60 beats per minute, that doesn't mean that it evenly beats every second. More than likely, what it does, it will be 0.9 seconds between beats. Then it might go to 1.1 seconds between beats, then drop down to 0.8 between beats. The body's constantly adjusting and changing the heart rate based on stimulus from the environment and what the body needs. So that means, more specifically, your nervous system, your central nervous system, is taking in information from the environment. What's the temperature? What's your mood and emotions? What are you doing physically? Are you resting or relaxing? Are you running up a hill? Are you being chased by a lion? All these things, it's making all these calculations, and then it's giving instructions and controlling your heart rate so that the right amount of blood and oxygen can go to the muscles and the organs. So it's a very finely tuned system that's very dynamic. It's constantly making adjustments. And HRV is a measure of this. So because of that, HRV can be an approximation of the balance of your nervous system, which is really valuable because it's hard to measure. It's such a complex system. It's hard to know. And I touched on this last week in the episode about breathing, but specific branch of your nervous system that controls your heart rate is called the autonomic nervous system. It happens automatically. You don't have to think about controlling your heartbeat. It just does it. Same thing with digestion, rebuilding cells, detoxification. All of these things your body just handles. You don't think about it. You don't have to make decisions. You can thank the branch of your nervous system called the autonomic nervous system. Now on the autonomic nervous system, there's two branches. One is responsible for the rest, digest, and repair. The other one's responsible for fight or flight. So when you're in a situation that has a lot of stress or you need a lot of blood flow and oxygen and to handle that stress, that's what the fight or flight is for. And then of course, there's times when you need to calm down, repair, again, rest, digest. That relates to eating meals, breaking down your food, and then using the nutrients wherever they're needed in the body. So there's an interplay between the two systems. And in a healthy person, ideally, we can fluidly switch between them based on whatever our body needs. HRV gives you an idea of how well your body does this or doesn't do it. So if you remember nothing else from this episode, here's the most important point, that HRV, the higher the number, the more energy your body can put towards recovery. If you think about this analogy of two teams making this massive building or structure. Say one team gets an extra hour per day to work. The first day or even the first week, we're probably not going to be noticing too big of a difference. But if we extend that out over years or decades, 10, 20 years, you're going to notice a huge difference simply because one team got many more hours stacked up over that timeline. Similar thing will happen in your body. If your body can spend a little more energy doing whatever cleanup it needs, whatever rebuilding, it's going to be a stronger, healthier body than one that has less time to do it. Think about your home. In one case, if you have 15 minutes a day to clean it up and tidy it and put it in decent order, and in another case, you only have a minute, how do you think your home's going to look after 3 months of that, 6 months of that, right? Same thing with your body. Your body needs to do a cleanup. It needs to put things in order. It needs to take care of broken down cells. It needs to handle pathogens and bacteria and other intruders that the immune system has to deal with. And having this extra energy to recover and rebuild can lead to a big difference in health. So now that you know what HRV is and how it relates to your health, let's cover some ways you can make the most of it if you have this data. The first way is to get a baseline of your number, because a single HRV number by itself doesn't tell us anything. There's way too many variables. Let me give you an example. The first one is that different devices are going to calculate HRV differently, because there's a couple different ways to calculate it if you really get into the weeds about it. Also, these devices measure your body in slightly different ways, so they're taking in information differently. So because of that, each device is going to have a different calculation for HRV. You can't compare. I remember I have an Oura Ring, and then I also got this device from the HeartMath Institute to help with heart coherence. And they're literally, one of them is twice as high as the other one every day when I measure it. So that confused me for the longest time till I started to look into this more and then understood some of the technical reasons why. So to start with, if you have more than one device, don't compare across devices. Just get a baseline for one device to look at. Also, you need a baseline for yourself. Our HRV is designed to go up and down. It as your heartbeat increases, as you do exercise or get into a more stressful situation, your body's going to increase the heart rate, which is going to decrease your HRV. There's going to be less time between heartbeats. Conversely, when you rest and relax and slow down, your heart rate slows down. So you're going to have more time in between heart rates. So your body's dynamic and designed to change this. So you want a baseline level when you're measuring your HRV to compare it over time, right? Like if I compare my HRV when I wake up versus in the middle of my workout, that doesn't tell me much. Of course, it's going to be lower during my workout. But if I compare my HRV every morning when I wake up over the past month or 2 months, then that can be useful. Once you have a baseline, then I think it's more useful on average to look at the changes in that baseline versus the absolute number. Part of this comes down to the variability in the different devices and the calculations they make. So like I said, the actual number you get can really vary between the devices. But once you get a baseline of a certain device at a certain time of day for you, then you can start to look at that number changing and it's more meaningful. So if it starts to go up or down, you can catch changes in your health earlier and do something about it. And this brings me to the third way you can use it for your benefit, which is to use these changes as leading indicators of your health. A lot of elite coaches and people into fitness really like HRV because they're quite technical. They understand the body at a deep level and they like to use that data. I like to use it more for big term health picture. When I was sick, I had really bad insomnia and some other crazy symptoms, and my HRV tanked. It was super low for a long period of time. And then slowly but surely, as I rebuild my health, my HRV increased. It wasn't an exact correlation. So some people drive themselves crazy trying to say, why is it not going up or down? And they're looking at it on too short of a timeline, in my opinion. But on a longer timeline, I saw that HRV increased nicely. I can promise you, if mine ever starts decreasing or heading more in the direction of the levels that it was when I was sick, I will definitely look into it. So this is a way to catch illness or problems in the body or just in general decreasing health, catch it before it becomes a major problem. In my case, I had a health collapse. So this would have been one way to potentially look into things earlier. Now, you can't go to a doctor or many doctors and talk to them about HRV in terms of health. Like they're not going to treat you for your low HRV. But what you can do is start to look into your health more. Maybe go to a functional health practitioner who can run some functional tests. Or what I find really interesting is some of these epigenetic tests that show here's what's actually going on in your physiology right now. Some of these non-standard tests, which I like because you don't have to wait around till you have a diagnosis or until you're blood levels are all out of whack, because that usually happens pretty late in the game with health issues. Your body tightly regulates the blood, and when issues show up in there, there's definitely been things happening beforehand, because the body will sacrifice cells, it'll store toxins and fat, it'll make compensations before it lets the blood levels get really out of hand. So for me personally, this is the main reason I look at my HRV and use it. It's just as a big picture idea. Hey, how's my health? What's my nervous system state? And as long as it's staying within a decent range, great. I have other ways of focusing on my health and improving my health. I'm not stressing too much. Some people, ironically, decrease their HRV because they're so stressed out about trying to increase it. It's not the ideal situation. So I look at it much more big picture. But for sure, if mine ever starts dropping the way it did before, I will definitely be meeting with my doctor, meeting with health practitioners, running labs until I find out what's going on and start to reverse that. Now, the fourth way I have for you to make use of the HRV data is ways to increase it. That's not what this episode's about, but I know people always want to know that. So I'm going to cover some highlights. If you really want to know more, you can either do a little research or let me know. If enough people have interest, I can definitely do an episode specifically on that. But in general, as just a starting point, what's recommended to increase HRV is very simple. It's just broadly anything that supports health often will support HRV. So if you got basics that you could clean up a little bit, clean up the diet, get more sleep or better sleep, even improving hydration or electrolytes, people have seen HRV go up from that. If you feel like you've covered all those things, a starting point, in my opinion, is with breath. You can do breath practices, breath exercises that directly target HRV. And I talked about some of this in the episode last week on breath, but the reason is because breath is an entry point, a way to start to modulate that autonomic nervous system, which is a little tricky to do because you can't change it through thinking. You can't just tell your autonomic nervous system, all right, be a little less stressed, go into this rest and digest mode, please, because I want you to recover. I want my body rebuilt. You can't reason with it like that. It's going off of your environment. A lot of times it's going off your wiring, your personality, and just what state your body's used to being in. So a lot of people who have these underlying stress programs, they don't even know it because it's been with them most of their life, maybe all their life. And that's another reason why HRV data is quite interesting, because it can show people that. So these breathing practices are a great place to start. And you can also try any other health promoting activities you want to. I know there's a lot of people out there who've tried those things and are frustrated because their HRV is not budging. There's actually a lot of athletes that do it, or people who like training or competing in races and things like that. And one thing I see them missing a lot of times, they're such driven people, so numbers focused, that they're not downshifting into their parasympathetic, their rest and digest state of their nervous system often enough. So they're like, I train all the time, I eat well, I drink well, hydrate well, but they're always in this more intense state, which is the handling stress state, which is the fight or flight state. That is gonna lower HRV. So a lot of people who feel like they live a healthy life, a clean life, actually really need to look at their emotional baseline and their nervous system health. I had to go through that too, and it was really eye-opening how beneficial it was to do some nervous system work, to do some emotional work, to do some somatic embodiment work where I start to let out some of the tension and some of the just the holding that was happening in the nervous system, and it made a big difference for me. So that's another place people can look into. And then lastly, again, what I went through with my own health, and I mentioned earlier, is some of these advanced tests, these more functional medicine tests that you're not going to get at a standard doctor's appointment, or these epigenetic tests, they give you a deeper picture of what's going on in the body outside the disease model. So it's not just about what do we diagnose and what are the problems here. It's like, here's a full picture of the world inside. And there's some really great practitioners out there that can use that data and information to make some progress. In my case, I did things like cleaning up my air and water in my home, which I didn't even know had higher levels of toxins than I realized, made a huge difference. I went through some detox programs. I learned a lot about the liver and kidney and just the drainage funnels of the body, the lymph, cleaned out some of that. So these deeper, more holistic functional focuses can really make a big difference too. That's not for everybody, but if you're really struggling with your health or you've tried a lot of things and you still feel off, those are some areas that are really helpful for a lot of people, but they do take a little work. So people tend to not look at them until they get really ill. That was the case with me, and I learned all about them. I wish I knew a little bit more about them before, but you know, we're all human. A lot of people have plenty to focus on in life already, so it's hard to really motivate yourself to do it. But this is, to bring it all full circle, this is just another reason why I think HRV is a cool metric, because it's one simple, easy way to get data to give me a better idea of the direction my health's going. If it's going up, I can keep doing what I'm doing, feel good about that. If it starts to go down too much, I mean, a little bit, who cares? You just keep living your life and enjoy it. But if it really starts dropping, it's a can be a way to get a little earlier signal. Hey, I need to look into this a little more. Hey, I need to work with a practitioner that can help me dig deeper, dig beneath the surface, and get on a plan so I can get back to feeling good and enjoying my life. I hope this episode helps you understand HRV better, and more importantly, live a healthier, happier life. I'll see you next week for more episodes. Stay wise. Hey there. I hope you enjoyed this episode and that you feel you're walking away wiser than before. I want to bring you even better episodes in the future. One way you can make sure that happens is by rating this podcast. The more of you who rate this podcast positively, the better guests I can bring you. Since you and I both know you're not going to do this later, I'll walk you through the 10-second process right now. All you have to do is follow along. Take out your phone and unlock it. Open up Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or whatever app you listen on, and search for Wiser Than Before Podcast and click on the show. In Apple Podcasts, you have to scroll down towards the bottom, past the most recent episodes. When you get to the ratings and reviews section, click on the blank stars to rate. In Spotify, beneath the logo and name of the show, you'll see three horizontal dots. They're just to the right of the bell and settings icons. Click those three dots, and the second option is to rate the show. Hit the blank stars and fill them in. All done. You can cross that off your to-do list and start looking forward to even better episodes in the future. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week, even wiser than before.